life, more often than not, Jesus is going to want to take you somewhere else. See, true ministry, true growth always expects more. It wants to take you further. It wants to take you beyond where you're at. I mean, if you know that. You know, we want to settle in a miracle, don't we? We want to stay there, surrounding that beautiful, warm, cozy, chocolate-flavored miracle. And we want to just be there in that safe place. Come on now, I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Let's be real. You want to bask in the glory. You want the afterglow. You want the aftermath. You want to stay in that place. But God's taken us to another place. He wants us to go from glory to what?
Glory.
He wants us to get bigger and better and go beyond. Amen. He wants to take us from slavery, and he wants to take us out of slavery. But then he wants to take us into the place of belonging and destiny, into a from what's that? You know, where you're crushed, where you're squeezed, where you're, you know, bound place into a place of spaciousness and freedom. So he wants to take us beyond that miracle into the next place. And the process, the journey is where the faith is realized. That's when you know your Christianity is valid, when it's real, when it's sure, is in the process. Can someone say amen? It's on the journey. And so he tells them, get into the boat together. Everyone say together.
Together.
Say together.
Together.
Get in the boat, all of you, in the same boat. I mean, if you know, you're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Amen. Whatever you're going through, someone else is going through, or been through it, or has got through it. We're all in the same boat. You're not, you know, whatever you're going through, we call it Tom Jones syndrome. You know what that means? It's not unusual. Some of you young people have not gotten any clue what I'm talking about. The only reason you know Tom Jones is because you used to watch The Voice. Come on now. And you imagined yourself being up there and the chair turning, right? And guaranteed none of you would have wanted Tom Jones. Huh? I have to watch The Voice. Amen. My daughter's into it. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's get back to the Spirit. After sending them home, you're all in the same boat. Everyone's in it together. It's not unusual what you're going through, what you've been through, what you're going to go into. You're all in the same boat. And then Jesus is dealing with other stuff, man. He tells you what to do, and then he deals with what he wants to do. Then it says, after sending them home, he went up in the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, amen, meanwhile, in Gotham City, meanwhile, in the middle of the lake, meanwhile, in a place that they'd been to before, but the circumstances had changed. They'd been on this lake many times. They'd been in this situation many times, but the circumstances were different this time. I mean, if you know, you can be in a place where you've got no money. You can be in a place where someone spoke bad to you. You can be in a place where you're not really, you know, understanding what's going on. You can be in that place, but you've been in it before. You've got through it. You've sailed through it. You've been on the boat. You're familiar with it. But then something happens that's a little bit different. Maybe there's a little bit more of a storm. Maybe the waves are a little bit choppier. Maybe you're tired. Maybe it's just dark. Meanwhile, Jesus is away, the disciples are doing what he said, and it says the disciples were in trouble far away from land. They're out in the middle of something, in the middle of somewhere, far from safety, and all of a sudden, a strong wind started to rise, and they were fighting heavy waves. Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you that you're in the middle of doing what God told you to do, and the next thing, all sorts of hell breaks loose against you? Has that ever happened to you? Come on now, you're doing what God tells you to do. You've picked up something he told you to pick up. You've given up something he told you to give up. And then all of a sudden, you're right in the middle of it. Why is this significant, being in the middle of something? Ask me why. Because it's the same distance forward as it is backwards. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to obey, or are you going to disobey and go back? It's the same distance. You're right in the middle of the situation. Amen. How many of you have ever found yourself in the middle of a situation and the wind has come and the opposition has come and you've gone back to where you started? Oh, come on, let me see your hands now. But how many of you, let me ask you this, how many of you have been in that situation, right in the middle of it, and you've made a decision that I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to do his will. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to go through it. And you've gone forward, not backwards. What one's best? What?
Forwards.
But there's always a time when we have to make that choice again. Amen? And doesn't it seem that every time you have to make that choice again, it's like you're making it for the first time? We forget. They just saw a tremendous miracle and now they're in the middle of this madness. And they have to make a decision. What are they going to do? What is going to run them? What is going to fuel them? What is going to drive them? What is going to... Are you with me? They're in the midst of this situation. It's dark, it's windy, it's scary, it's mad. What are they going to do? About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them. How many of you know 3 o'clock in the morning is the worst time in the world? Right? If you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, how sad are you? You're either on drugs, on a night shift, right? Or you're an insomniac. Amen. Either way, it's not a good situation. Can someone say amen? 3 o'clock in the morning. So 3 o'clock in the morning that Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Now you would think, wow, Jesus, what, amazing. Come to save me, you know. Give me the night off. Get me down from this high, you know. Get me asleep. Cuddle me. Tell me a story, whatever. Sort the situation out. But look what happens. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" How many of you have ever done that? Huh? You're in the midst of a situation, but you're a believer, you're a Christian, you've got, you know, Jesus is in your heart, and the next thing you know, God's coming in to save the day, but you're like, no, it can't be. Surely not. No way can God do that in my life. Huh? It's not going to happen. I'm done. It's all over. My salvation's gone. I might as well give up. You know why? Because faith is necessary in our life, but fear is massively a hindrance to us. Faith is the journey that we're on. A real life can only be lived by faith. And this life of faith, this journey includes our living and our giving. Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely or diligently seek him. So you can see that not only do we have to believe that he is, but we have to also act on that belief. Amen? And in that, we get pleased with God. Wave your hand in the air if you understand what I'm saying right now. We're getting somewhere. Turn around to your neighbor, say, he's getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. He's getting somewhere. I don't know where he's getting, but he's getting somewhere. Amen. Come on. I don't know where he's going, but he's going somewhere. Come and encourage yourself in the Lord. He's going somewhere. We're going to get there someday. Come on now. 4 things I know that are true about God. Number 1, he can't lie. Number 2, he can't change. Number 3, he can't fail. And number 4, he can't do nothing. So in all of that, when he speaks to you, it's the truth. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. Yes. Nothing can stop him. Amen. And also, he's going to do something. In your situation, he's not just going to let you go. He's not just going to leave you on your own. He's not just going to leave you in it. He's not just going to let you fall or foul. He can't do that to himself because his name is at stake in your life. Whatever it is you're in, wherever it is you're in, whatever the darkness, whatever the madness, whatever the situation or the circumstance, if you're in it because it's his will, then you're going to get through it and he's going to make sure of it. Faith is necessary to access the life that God's planned for us. Elton Trueblood said, faith is not belief without proof. That's foolishness, man. Belief without proof. He said, but it is trust without reservation. What's that? What was that song that Hillsong sung that was so, you know, amazing. Oceans. You know, there's a, what is it? Take me. What was the first bit? Where my spirit lead me, where my trust is without borders, where I walk upon the waters. Trust without reservation. Amen. If you ever look at it, how much do you really trust in the name of the Lord? Is it your strong tower, or is it something that a little pig built? Is it made of straw? Come on now. But a big bad wolf comes, he huffs and he puffs and he blows your house of faith down. Huh? Is it sticks? A little bit tougher, but still going to get blown down. Or is it solid? Is it firm? Is it sure? Is it built right? Is it stable? Is it strong? Does it have deep foundations? It's not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Ralph Waldo Emerson, famous writer, he said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen." Amen. Doesn't matter if you've had a little bit of relationship with the Lord, a little bit of revelation. That revelation that is small is so true and so potent and so powerful that it should release in us and activate in us such a trust that God, even though I only know him in this little way, because he is so good, because he is so true, and it has had such a massive effect in my life, anything else I'm going to trust him for as well. But isn't it true that as humans, we fall into this category of belief and unbelief? We swing between trusting in God and disbelieving God. And we swing between, yeah, I believe in you, but I don't believe you're going to do it for me. Huh? You know why we do it? It's generally when we take our eyes off of God spiritually and we put our eyes on our circumstances naturally. Or it's when we put ourselves in the place of God in our life. God can do it, but I'm trying to do it and it ain't working. I believe God can do it, but whenever I try and do it, it don't work. Come on now. Because we got the order wrong. We got things out of sync and out of place. Faith is a verb. The verb faith, pisteuo, means the act of believing. It's translated in the Bible as believe, trust, and commit. Pisteuo literally means to trust in and rely on. That's faith. Faith, saving faith, is trusting in and relying on Jesus Christ as our Savior. Regardless of our works, regardless of our deeds, regardless of ourself. That's saving faith. But then there's the noun that comes from that, pistis, which is sometimes translated faith, actually doesn't mean the act of believing, but the things believed. Amen? It means the things believed. It speaks of a firm foundation of revealed truth that causes us to expect certain results from certain actions. Spiritually, it means we act on the things we believe about who Jesus is and what he's done. So we're saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10, it says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith." Amen. Through faith. Matthew Barnett, who he's a really nice guy. And he started up a thing called the Dream Center in Los Angeles. I remember I was out in LA when he came to Victory Outreach. I was there in La Puente, one of our churches, and he came to do a presentation. You know, he was presenting his vision about the Dream Center. And real nice guy, real down to earth, you know, real humble guy. This Dream Center thing's massive. They took over a whole hospital in Los Angeles and renovated it and provided housing for the homeless and rehabs and work programs and all sorts of stuff. Just a normal, simple, humble guy. But he said this about faith. He said, faith is believing that God is going to take you places before you even get there. How many of you have heard of Martin Luther King Jr.? Huh? Come on, how many of you have heard of Dr. Martin Luther King? I have a dream. Amen. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Come on now. Now, you have to have trust in God to do that, because otherwise you're going to fall. I don't know about you, but I've fallen down the stairs because I couldn't see the rest of the staircase. Popped out my shoulder, broke me back. Actually broke me back falling down the stairs. First year we were here. Amen. In the men's zone. I was due to preach on a Sunday. I got out of the bath, had my towel wrapped around me. Everyone had gone, all the men's home and that, and the women's home had gone. You know, they'd gone to set up the church. I got out of the bath. I had to go down the stairs to get me suits because they was in some random cupboard downstairs because we had like 17 people living with us, me and Vicky. I got out of the bath. There's only me and Vicky in the house. Got running down the stairs, right? Wooden stairs. How many of you remember that in Oddsall? Wooden stairs. Slipped on the first one. Didn't see the next step. It's almost like I was going down it in faith. Didn't see the next step. Slipped, went up in the air, landed halfway down on my spine, on my backbone. Come on now, my tailbone. And after that, my tailbone weren't connected to my backbone. Amen. I ended up laying on the floor. My coffee, I had a coffee in my hand, went all over the wall. I was going, oh, Vicky come out. She went, look at the state you've made of the step. Coffee, I'm on the floor. She's a homemaker, amen. Praise the Lord. And I got up and I was like, oh gosh. But I preach, we're pioneering this thing, you know. Couldn't let anyone in the men's zone preach. It would have killed all the people. So I got dressed, preached. Pain, couldn't sit down, you know, couldn't do anything. Went to the hospital. I broke my coccyx. Snapped my spine. Tell people I broke my back. Amen. Where's Cyril at? You know what that feels like, huh? So when you've got faith in God, though, you can trust. I'll give you another example of what I mean. My young son, Thomas, right, when he was a baby, he was, you know, he used to toddle around. You know when kids are toddlers? And in my house, we have stairs like Mount Everest, right? Literally, I have to get a Sherpa. I have to wire a Sherpa with yaks and all that every time we want to get up it. But literally, it's like that. It's one of them old Victorian terraced houses, you know? They didn't make them for modern people, amen. They made them almost as a penance. Anyway, we're there. And you go up our stairs, and our bathroom's right facing it, right? So Thomas has come out of the toilet. We're potty training him. He's come out the toilet. He's on the bit of landing. I've come out with him, because obviously he's not potty training on his own. So I've come out with him. Amen. And he's turned around, and he said something and took a step. And I've seen him. I've gone, you know, in slow motion. No! Missed him. And he's just gone back like that. Immediately, I'm thinking, 999, my kids, you know, get messed up. What's Vicky going to say? Natural progression of stuff. Right? But he fell, and he fell backwards, and I'm watching him, and he surfed all the way down the stairs. It didn't even hit the bottom. He just surfed onto the landing at the bottom into the passage and just laid there like a starfish. Right? I've run down the stairs, got down there. I'm looking at him. Are you all right? You okay? He's crying because he's a baby. Babies cry at anything. Amen. Some of you are babies. Anyway. Sorry, just had to get that in. It's one of them little pastors' payback things, you know what I mean? He's laying there like a starfish crying, and I'm looking, what's he done? I'm looking at his leg mangled, has his neck, I'm holding his head and all that. I said, you're right, you're right, you're right. He stopped crying, he went, it's all right, Daddy. He said, God held me in his hand. I went, what? Can't be. It's a ghost! God held me in his hand. How do you know it was God? Because it was big and soft and I was safe. I was like, man. Oh, you can praise the Lord for that. Don't give God weak praise. Come on now. If you're going to praise him, be radical. You know, sometimes we like that in church. You hear a story and it's like, wow. And then we give him ghost praise. Yeah, but it was a ghost. Casper. Sometimes God wants us to understand that on our journey, we have to trust him, to please him, to access what he wants. But then what happens is, while faith is essential, fear is a massive hindrance. Amen. It's fear of failure. Hello. We already alluded to that when we spoke about the scrub who gets in the passenger side of their best friend's ride. Amen. Because they're afraid to have taken the test. Come on now. In case they what? In case they? Some people won't take their driving test in case they fail. Some people won't take the test in case they fail. Some people won't ask that brother out or that sister out in case they get knocked back. Just saying. Some people won't ask for the promotion, won't ask for the pay rise, won't ask. Oh, come on now. In case what? They fail. Fear of failure. Then there's the fear of success. Some people won't ask him or her out in case they say yes. Come on now. Because then I might have to, you know, I might have to actually spend time with a human. Not just some virtual thing on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or the TV. Hello, somebody. Huh? Because then they'll actually smell me for who I really am. I'll have to clean my teeth and wash them. Then they're going to know me. Then I'm not going to get that job because it's going to come with responsibility. I'm not going to do that because then I'm going to have to step up. I'm not going to get up on the platform in case I have to actually walk the walk instead of talking the talk. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do in case I succeed. And then there's an expectation. So you've got fear of failure. You've got fear of success. You've got different phobias. You've got claustrophobia where you can't bear to be crushed in. That's why some of you don't like sitting with other people in church. You don't, the thought of getting stuck in a little room or, a little box with no way out and no windows and everything shut in, and it's starting to freak you out right now, even me talking about it. Some people are agoraphobic. That doesn't mean they're afraid of aggro. It means that they're afraid of great spaces. You know, in Christianity, there's a lot of spiritual agoraphobics. You're afraid of being in a spacious place. You're actually afraid of freedom. You don't want to be free. You don't want to just, what are the commandments? Just love the Lord and love people. No, I want commandments. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to wear. Tell me when to go. Tell me when to do it. I want rules. Because you're spiritually agoraphobic. You're afraid of spacious places. Come on now. Then there's fear of spiders. I mean, if you've got a fear, like arachnophobia. You're arachnophobic? Who's arachnophobic? Let me see your hands. Don't look up. Don't look up at that spider web above your head. Come on now. That thing touching your hair right now is not a spider. It's a monster spider. I'm just messing. We have all sorts of stuff. Fear is a hindrance. Why? Because fear alters our perceptions. Amen. When you're afraid, your perceptions alter. Let me even know what I'm talking about. I said it this morning, I'll say it again because it's a really, really true illustration. How many of you have ever got up in the night for a midnight munch? Come on. Come on, you left a bowl of jollof rice in the fridge, man. And that rice is speaking to you. Huh? Speaking to you in the midnight hour. Come on now. That chicken is flapping its wings. Hello. There is ice cream melting unless I get to it and eat it. Come on now. That chocolate will dissolve. It is in pain. It needs me. That chocolate needs me. It might be as innocent as a drink of milk or a drop of water. But whatever it is, you get up in the night to go to the fridge. Amen. And you've been to the fridge many times in the day. Hello, some of you more than others. Many times in the day. You know the route. You know how to open the door. You know where it is in the fridge. You know where it's at. You know where the table is and the chairs. But at night, in the midnight hour, or at 3 a.m., when you go to the fridge, you keep the light off. Even when no one else is in the house. Right? Because you don't want to be exposed for being a midnight muncher. You're even trying to stop yourself from from realizing what you're doing. Come on now, you're even lying to yourself. Right? And in the day, in the light, it's cool. No problem. In the night, when you get up and you go there, some of you know this. You get up out of your bed in that safe place because there's something going on. You hear the cry, the call, you smell the smell, whatever's happening, right? Chocolate, cake, rice, chicken, drink, whatever it is. And then you go and you're a Christian, you're a believer, you've got faith in the day. Come on now. In the night, you're praying in tongues. You're pleading the blood of Jesus. Because why? In case there's a monster. In case there's a demon. How many of you have been scared of demons in the night? You've got up and you're like, the blood of Jesus, I bind you. Chocolate demon. Christians are the weirdest people in the world sometimes, man. Right? Come on now. Give me an amen if you've ever done something weird like that as a Christian. Put your hands up if you've ever been as weird as that as a Christian. Let me see your hands. The blood of Jesus. Shaka. Huh? Why? Because there's this element of the unknown, the uncertain. There's a fear there. And that fear alters our perception of reality. That little dark thing in the corner ain't just a shadow, it's a demon. Hello? Huh? That thing scuttling around. I was a nightmare to my sister. My sister had a bit of arachnophobia. And she wanted to come into the bathroom once, and I wanted to get in the bathroom, and she was coming in the bathroom, and I didn't want her to get in the bathroom. So what I did, I got a bit of black cotton, and I scrunched it up into a ball, right? And I put it on the floor near the bathroom, and I went, as she was coming, I went, boom, like that. I went, I think I've got it. And she looked down, and it was like this scrunchy little black ball, right? And she thought it was a spider. She was, ah! Fear alters your perception. Amen? What's the opposite of fear? What's the opposite of fear? What's the opposite of fear? Faith? Who says faith? Some of you are like, oh man, it's a trick question now. A lot of people shouted faith. Faith's not the opposite of fear. Love drives out fear. Amen? Perfect love, God's perfect love deals with fear. But fear is a problem because it affects our perspectives. When we go back to our scripture, we see that things were getting a little bit tricky. The disciples of Jesus who were with him personally day in and day out didn't even recognize him when things were outside of their comfort zone. They thought he was a ghost, not real, vague, just a vague image, a possibility, or maybe something else entirely. How often have we done the same thing? In the middle of trouble, Jesus turns up, even sometimes without us even praying and asking. But he's there because he loves us. And he comes providing an answer that no one else can ever bring. He comes to the rescue, and then we find ourselves just not being able to accept it. Surely not, we say. Can't be. Don't believe it. Then we go back to our scripture and we see what Jesus did. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. he said. Don't be afraid, he's saying to you right now. In your situation, don't give in to fear. Don't let it alter your perception. Don't think that God is unable to deal with where you're at. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. And then he said this. He said, I am here. Woo! This is the amazing truth that every believer in Christ needs to grab a hold of and never let go. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. He's present. He's with us. He's here. He's real. Come on now. He's not just real when you're at the altar and the worship team is singing. He's not just real when the music is playing and the pastor is preaching. He's not just real when you're with your brothers and sisters. He's real when you're in the middle of your enemies. He's real when you're outside of church. He's real not just in the light but in the darkness. He's real when things are going bad. He is still good even when things are bad. He is real even when people don't believe in him. He is real. He's real. What he has revealed about himself is the truth. And that truth, when you comprehend it, know it, understand it, walk in it, sets you free, man. The statement, I am here, was an amazing thing for him to say at that time. Especially as he's doing something so miraculous as walking on the waves. When he said, I am here, he's identifying himself as Emmanuel. God. With us. The God of the eternal age, creator of the universe, present here. The I am identifies himself as the eternal. And the presence, his presence, I am here, identifies himself as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. It's an amazing statement. Then Peter gets all bold, man. How many of you love Peter? Peter's just so human, huh? Peter's like us. Amen. He's alternately full of faith and full of stupid. I mean, this, what he does next, many preachers have preached about it. I've even preached about it, about his great faith in stepping out of the boat. Coming to think of it now, I think, what a stupid thing to do. It's with me. Follow with me. Huh? This is what we do sometimes. Then Peter called to him, Lord. He's got a relationship with him to some degree. Lord, if it's really you, if it's really you, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Come on now. When you have a look at this, in part it's the story of this impetuous, bold, reckless man, this human, who is spontaneous but unstable. Amen. He does crazy things, but he's unstable. He's a shirker, a shifter. That's what his name Simon means. He's all over the place. Later on, he will become Peter, the chip off the old block, stable. But right now, he's all over the place in his life. He leaps before he looks. And then all of a sudden, he becomes aware of his danger and he fails. This is the story of a man testing God. You know why? He says, he begins by saying, Lord, if it is you. You know what this echoes? This echoes the words of Satan in the wilderness at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Prove yourself. How many times have we wanted God to prove himself in the midst of our circumstances? Even though he's more than proved himself in our salvation. By revealing himself to us as Lord and Savior and changing our heart, he has more than proved himself to us. But then all of a sudden, he's done the greatest miracle in eternity and in creation, that you become born again, spirit-filled, a new creation, right with God, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then all of a sudden, your wages don't come in on time. Hello? All of a sudden, you run out of milk at 12 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, your electric runs out in the middle of the match. And then it's like, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have allowed that to happen. You ran out of petrol on the way to work. Ever happened? Come on now. First of all, you might blame the devil, bind the devil, right? Wasn't the devil that... The devil's got nothing to do with it. You run out of petrol. Can you imagine it, Satan, you know what I mean, outside your house at night with a hose? Sucking all the juice out your tank. Running away. I bind you, Satan. Or was it you driving past the petrol station and thinking, "Ah, I'll do it later." So alternatively, what we do is we bind Satan and then we blame God. "Well, God, it's your fault. If you love me, I wouldn't be here stranded, would I? Oh, prove yourself. Send someone along with a petrol can." At the next turn of the key, if it's you, it's going to start and it's going to drive miraculously and get me to the next petrol. Run, 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 in the name of Jesus. Run, 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 run. Can we be real? Can we be real? How many of you have ever done that? Shame the devil right now. Come on. Lift up your hands. Might not be that exactly, but you've done something similar. God, if it's you, prove yourself. I know you're my saviour, but are you my refueler? Prove yourself as the great mechanic. If it is you, command me to come on the water. Once again, Satan, you know, messes with our humanity. Encourages us from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. Messes with humanity, you know. Just eat the thing, you know. You could become like God. Messes with us. Trying to get us to put ourselves in the place of God, to take steps on our own and to test God and tempt God and do all that stuff. Right or wrong? And what did they do in the Garden of Eden? They ate the fruit, man. And it was nothing to do with the apple on the tree. It was the pear on the ground that caused the problem. Amen. Some of you will get that later when you had a bit of pie inside you after the service. But we go from test to trust. This is also the story of a disciple wanting to please his God, wanting to know. Amen? It's a complex thing, this process that we go through of faith. You go from trusting to testing. To failing, to trusting. And we go through all of these motions, amen? Peter asks for a command and then he only acts once the master gives him the command. That's good. This is a bridge story. It goes from fear and despair to worship and faith. It's a story of the journey of every Christian as we move back and forward. Between faith and doubt, back to faith again. Sometimes we're focused on our present situation and circumstances, and sometimes we're focused on the Saviour. Are you with me? Peter shows us what we're like. This is what causes Peter to stand out, his humanness. His almost reckless way of jumping into mad situations. They're in the boat. It's safe in the boat. Jumping out of the boat in a storm is the most stupid thing to do unless the boat is sinking, right? Because then you've just jumped into the thing you're afraid of. Sometimes we do that, almost reckless, to prove God still loves me, to prove that he's still with me. Come on now. You're crazy stuff. Command me and I'll... Whatever. Well, stay in the boat, man. Everyone's in the same boat. It's cool. Jesus is coming to the boat. Once he gets to the boat, it's going to be fine anyway. Amen? You don't have to get out. What makes him a role model, though, is that he actually only did it on the Word of God. He did what he did based on the Word of God. And here's the thing. He said, command me and I'll come. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus kind of almost, to me, sometimes I feel this, he almost called his bluff. All right then. Come on then. Go on then. Pete. Crack on. You think you can do it? Come on then. Come, said Jesus. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. I believe Jesus wanted to teach Peter and us a lesson. Jesus allowed Peter to question him. Peter wanted to do what Jesus was doing, and my question is why? Jesus was coming to save the day. Just stay in the boat, Pete. Huh? But no, Peter wanted proof. And when we're like that, that gets us into trouble if we're not careful. Amen? But Jesus is a good Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. His mercy, watch this. His mercy and his grace covered Peter and enabled Peter's miraculous journey on the water. It really, we're not really into the realm of faith at the moment. We're in the realm of God's mercy and grace. Sometimes we step out thinking we're doing something in faith and God's going, oh, listen, I've got to, what are they doing? What are they thinking? I can imagine him sitting on the throne, you know. Gabriel, over here a minute. What's she thinking? What's she doing? I'm coming in to save the day. She don't have to do that. But, you know, we'll let her crack on because we want to teach her a lesson. Or him. More often him. Because women are more perfect than men. For me to say that was faith, man. Declaring something. Huh? How far he got in this condition, we don't know. But it is in his favor that he stepped out in obedience to the personal word of God. God told Peter to come. It's just as well that Matthew didn't jump in. Amen. Sometimes we step out on a word that's not ours. Hello. Sometimes God just wants you to stay in a boat. Amen. Just stay with it. Just flow with it. Just flow with it. Don't have to step out and go and do your own thing unless you get a personal word. Stay in the boat. Peter was commanded and drawn to go to the source of his peace and power, and that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Are you still with me? But then look what happened. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And then he cried out and he said the prayer, prayed the prayer. That was the most perfect prayer that he could pray. Save me, Lord! He shouted. This is faith. Peter failed and he fell, but then he cried out in faith. It wasn't about Peter anymore. It was about the Lord. All his good intentions failed him. The reality and the nearness of his circumstances overcame him, and he was overwhelmed and he started to sink. And then he positioned himself in faith. Because he put his eyes on the Savior. This was real faith. You know why? Because now this is faith that would bring glory to God, not glory to Peter. Did you catch that? Sometimes we want to do stuff, we think it's faith. We think we're stepping out in faith, but what we're actually doing is we're bringing glory to ourselves. We want to be the man or the woman of power for the hour. We want to be known as the spiritual one. We want to have the word in season. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to live like this. We want to have this testimony because it makes us feel good. But true faith is when God gets glorified. Can someone say amen and agree with that? Amen. God came. Jesus came. Bible says Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saved him, and then rebuked him. You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? I want to show you something. I'm going to do a quick illustration of what actually happened. Amen. So you really catch this. Are you here? You got another 5 minutes? Who's got 5 minutes? Let me see your hands. Praise the Lord. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. That's old, man. You fell for that. Amen. What's the matter with you? You're churched people, man. I want 2 volunteers. I want Jesus. Jesus, where are you? And I want Peter. Peter, where you at, man? Come on, Pete. All right, Peter, we've got a new Peter. Amen. But his name actually is Emmanuel, so it works. Because he's not the Messiah. You're not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. Amen. So you imagine the scene. Right, I want 11 other people. One, two, three, four, five, come on, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you're going to be disciples for the day. Amen. Up on the boat, please. You're not swimming. That's the boat. This is the boat. Everyone, this is the boat. What is this? This is the sea. This is the sea. What is this?
Sea.
Because it's blue, it helps. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? Right? Jesus comes walking over the wind, over the waves. They're in the boat. They're scared. Man, they scare me. I don't know about anyone else. It just so happens that most of the disciples are women at the moment. Hey? Hold up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We need one more. Where's Judas? I'm just messing with you guys, man. Judas is on there already. Which one is Judas? We need John the Beloved. Who's coming up to be John? Come on. John the Beloved. Look, here he comes. Yeah. Get up on the boat, son. Get up on the boat. His name actually is John. Amen. And Jesus loves him. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Now, the way you're standing, you're going to sink the boat anyway, because you're all on one side. Spread out a little bit. You're in the boat. There's waves crashing in. You know, you're in a mess. Ah! What are we going to do, Matthew? Andrew, I don't know. You're a fisherman. What do we do? I don't know. I'm afraid. Can't even pray in tongues. Can't be filled with the Spirit yet. What am I going to do? They're in a pickle, man. Then all of a sudden, along comes Jesus, walking on the waves, looking like the Lord. Peter, bold Peter, comes to the front of the boat, the side of the boat, and he says,
"Is that you, Jesus?"
Amen. That's probably, you know, how he said it in Aramaic. Right? Aramaic and Mancunian are very similar. Because they were, you know, northerners as well. Huh? Is that you, Jesus?
No, it's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
Everyone pretend like you're scared. Jesus is just there, you know, walking on the waves like a boss. Peter's like, "If that's you, command me to come to you." So Jesus says,
"Come, Peter."
Come. So Peter, wait, stop. What are you lot doing when Peter jumps over the side? Wave. Bye, Pete. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Just a minute. Just a minute. Wall drive malfunction.
Oh, sorry.
Pete was girded. Just girded up his loins. So there's the boat. There's Jesus. Watch this. So Peter jumps out of the boat and starts walking on the sea towards Jesus. Now he's undergirded with grace. He's following the command. So there's grace and faith mixed in, but it's not really a massive, you know, thing yet. Amen. He's doing what no one else has done, but it's almost by accident sometimes that we kind of see this, right? Because he's been testing God. And Jesus has kind of, you know, he's allowed him to do that. Sometimes he allows us because of our unbelief. Amen? And it's all mixed in together, this journey. So he walks towards Jesus, right? Then all of a sudden, he gets distracted. He takes his eyes off the Lord and looks at his circumstances. He recognizes and realizes and remembers that he's a man walking on water. He's not even dynamo. Even he don't walk on water. It's plastic underneath the water. It's a trick. This ain't a trick. Because there's a wind. Everyone blow. Oh, come on, man. I said wind, not breeze, not a gentle breeze. Blow. Man. Right? The waves are crashing. The wind is blowing. Peter sees his situation. And he starts to sink. Come on. Wait. You're sinking. What do you do when you sink? What does he do?
Jesus, help me.
He don't do it like that. If you were sinking, what would you be doing? You wouldn't be going, Jesus, help me.
Do you want me to do it louder?
Don't break it. Just shout.
Louder,
Jesus, help me! Right? Right? Praise the prayer of faith. Immediately, the Bible says, Jesus caught him, picked him up, grabbed him, got him. Amen. Saved him. And then he rebuked him. God disciplines those he considers sons, man. What's the matter with you, Pete? You just got a little faith, man. Why did you doubt? It's me. Huh? And then what did they do? Watch this. Then the Bible says, and when they got back into the boat, stop there a minute. Let me ask you something. How did they get back to the boat? How did they get back to the boat? They walked on the water. See, when you're in faith, you recognize what you haven't got. You recognize what you can't do. But you recognize who Jesus is and what he can do and who you are in him. That releases miracles. That releases faith. That releases breakthrough. And now you're walking hand in hand with Jesus above your situation, above your circumstances, above the natural, beyond the normal. Come on now. You're in the supernatural right now. They walked on the water together back to the boat. Then the disciples went from fear, they went from being disconcerted, mangled, messed up, doubting, to worship. That's what God wants. That's what he expects. That's what he desires. In John's gospel, when it's speaking about a similar situation, after it, they say, the disciples come to Jesus and say, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. To put your faith in Christ in the midst of your circumstances. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad around you. It doesn't matter if it's light or dark around you. It doesn't matter if you've got what you want and got what you need or not. But your faith is rock solid in the person of Jesus Christ. that he is good and his mercy endures forever, that he loves you even when everyone hates you, that he's for you even when everyone is against you, that his plan for you is a good plan, that the works that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in are perfect for you, that he is going to provide for you, he is going to be there for you, he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, he ain't going to let anyone snatch you out of his hand, he ain't going to let you fall or foul beyond. Right now in your situation, you have to understand that all of the disciples are all there together in the same boat. You're all in the same boat. Every single one of you in the sound of my voice right now. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in the same boat together. Everything that you've gone through, of going through, have been through is the same as everyone else around you. We all go through the same stuff. We have our ups, we have our downs. Us preachers and pastors, we're not perfect. We have our ups and we have our downs. There's times we go through dryness. There's times we're in barrenness. There's times I've been through depression. There's times you're up, you get sick, you get down, you get lost. But there's other times when you're above the waves. There's other times when God has provided for you. There's other times when you've stood your ground. There's other times when you haven't gone back, because it's the same distance forward as it is backwards. So we might as well trust in the Lord and go forwards rather than disbelieve in God and go backwards. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your family's going through. I don't know what you've been through in your thinking, in your mentality, in your emotion, physically, in your body, in your finances, in material things. I don't know where you're at in your workplace. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at. But God knows where you're at. And he's coming to you. He's coming to you. He's coming right where you're at. He's there in the situation with you. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be with you right in it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You ain't got no money? God's your provider. Come on now. You sick? God, your healer. Come on now. Huh? You under attack? God is your fortress. He is your strong tower. He is your champion. He is your defender. He is in front of you. He's making the way possible. He's behind you. He's not letting you go. He's the good shepherd. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He starts it, he's beginning it, and he's going to finish it. He is going to complete that which he started in your life. If he said it, he's going to do it, because he can't go back on his word. He cannot lie. He cannot foul. He cannot do nothing. He's always there. He's going to be there. He's been there for you. He saved you in the first place. He wrote your name in his book. He's going to be there at the end, and he's going to gather you to himself. It doesn't matter what demon comes against you. If there is one demon, he's going to send two angels. It doesn't matter what fear comes against you. His love's going to drive it out. It doesn't matter what you're thinking right now. It doesn't matter what you're feeling right now. It matters who you're believing in right now. Come and stand to your feet. In the midst of your situation and circumstance, in the midst of what you're going through, you might not understand it. You might not feel it's fair. You might not even want to be in it. But when you've done everything to stand, don't flee. Don't jump ship. Don't run away. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Stand your ground. Cry out to the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. So shall we be saved from our enemies. He's going to pick you up. He's going to turn you around. He's placing your feet on solid ground. He loves you with an everlasting love. It don't matter what you do. It's his decision. It's a covenant, not a contract. He didn't say, I'll love you if. He says, I'll know you love me if you obey me. Your love becomes obvious in your work and in your action. People can tell if you're flaky or if you're faithful. But God says, I've demonstrated my love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He's given you the chance. He's given you the start. He's there at the beginning. He's going to be with you in the process. He's going to be there at the end. But what are you going to do? Are you going to cry out to him? Here's the thing. I'm going to leave you with this. And then we're going to worship the Lord. This is something you need to know. Jesus is not someone to be accepted. I've accepted Jesus. Like you've done him a favor. He's not someone to play games with. He's not someone that you're going to accommodate or you're going to come to an arrangement with. He's not someone to sign a contract with. He's someone to surrender to completely and utterly. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you own, everything you've done, everything you're going to do. And in that place of surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, King of every king and Lord of every Lord, then you reap the benefit of his sacrifice, of his obedience, of his resurrection, of his place right next to the Father in heaven. We're saved not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we're going to be judged on works. Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? He'll say, be gone from me. I never knew you. It wasn't in my name. It was in your name. You did it in my name for your benefit. Not me and my house. Not this church. Not you, my friend. We're going to worship the Lord because he is worthy of worship. And if you can worship him in the midst of the storm, if you can worship him when you haven't got anything, then he'll trust you with something because he knows you'll still worship him when you've got. That you weren't just after it and then you're going to cut him loose. Come on now. He knows all this anyway. Where's your heart at? Where's your faith at? Are you walking the walk or are you just talking the talk? You only worship God when everything's in your favor? Do you only stay in obedience to his word when it's easy? What about when it's hard? What about when you're persecuted? What about when people speak against you? What about when things are happening that are hard? Can you still lift up your hands and lift up your voice? Or are you like Peter that you only shout out and cry out when you're sinking? Lord, have mercy upon us in our humanity. Jesus, you gave up eternity to take on humanity, and you were tempted in every way as us, but yet you were without sin. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in what we have done or what we can do or what we will do. We trust in you. And you alone. We worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the champion. You are the merciful one. You are the Savior. You entered this world through a virgin's womb under a sign that said no entrance. You left from an empty tomb under a sign that said no exit. Nothing is impossible for God. Lord, we need you. We cry out to you in this place, in the midst of our situation and circumstance. Jesus, save us. Only you can do what needs to be done in this city and in this nation and this generation.